Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about transcending the limits of sensual perception. Listen as we explain the advantages of moving beyond the boundaries of the five-sense mind and living from the perfection of being. Physics tells us that observation has effect on reality, but to think with the higher mind is the ultimate measurement. In this show, we will explore the differences between the rational and the absolute. So welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance, get the light in your soul, and transcend the limits of rational thinking. So, Swami, so I'm interested in finding out, what are the advantages of moving beyond the boundaries of the five-sense mind? And what does it look like to live from the perfection of being?
Yeah, the rational mind is the part of consciousness that is directly related to our senses. And the rational mind is a very limited function in that it can only do one thing at a time. So even though it works with the five senses, it can only access one of those senses at a time. And the other thing is that the data that we are receiving from that is coming from what was called or what is called duality. It is coming from a part of creation that is apart from unity. So it is in half, and it is disconnected from what is whole, what is complete. To access the higher mind, to access the part of the mind, first of all, that can do many things at once, and eventually access that part of the mind that is doing everything at once, which is what I would say would be the concept of thinking with God as God, that you are accessing divine mind, which doesn't work on duality. It's not a divided consciousness, but it is unity consciousness, and it deals with the absolute. So it works in a completely different medium, in that it is dealing with everything is in its entirety, in wholeness, and not in parts.
So I was wondering if you could explain to us, what does thinking with God look like?
Yeah. Thinking with God as God really requires us to transcend rational thinking. Well, I think the first thing is the how-to is that you have to move beyond sensual perception. So that's pratyahara. Because in consciousness, there is an inlet through the senses, and then there is an outlet through soul faculty or spiritual sense. And you can only access one of those. So you're either getting your information from the senses, or you move into the higher mind. And the way that you access the higher mind is by shutting off awareness to the lower mind. This is what last week we talked a little bit about, it is living out from the heart, and the heart being the seat of wisdom. Or when the mind moves into that rightful position of as an avenue of awareness. Now, where you point that mind, if you're going to point it towards the outside world, which will report in your senses, you will pick up the information from particles or waves, which is matter or mind. So you'll either have thoughts or you will have stimulation that comes through your senses. But if you can point that mind towards the absolute, the void, the nothing, the concept of spirit, then nothing will report in the senses. But what we start to do is we start to cultivate our soul faculty. We start to cultivate spiritual sense. And that is what in the Bible they refer to it as the Christ. The Christ is the interpreter. The Christ is what makes divine law, divine love, intelligible to human consciousness. So with this practice of meditation that we're doing, we start to develop our ability to attune ourselves to the frequency of spirit. And in this process, we start to develop a level of understanding of spirit. And the reason why we want to do this is because spirit holds the template for perfect creation. The concept of God and reality being the thought of God, God's idea. That if we can start to harmonize ourselves with that, and that's what we talked about last week, this whole thing of knowing the will of God and harmonizing ourselves with the frequency of divine law starts to enable us to follow the leadership or the direction, the guidance that is coming from this source of information that is very different than what we're accustomed to doing and using with our human faculty, with the lower mind. And this is what we talked about, living out from the perfection of being. In the Bible, it says that the kingdom of heaven is within, that the kingdom of God is within. And so a big part of this transcendental practice that we develop, that we want to transcend the limits of sensual perception. We want to transcend the limits of body-bound physical awareness. And we want to attune ourselves, but we're trying to attune ourselves to something that is invisible and intangible. So it's not a very easy catch. But one of the things that you can start to do is you can start to use it and access it, because the formula is how we think is what we become. And if we are thinking humanly and with our own thoughts and our own beliefs and our human concepts and ideas, that we will create a reality that is mortal, provisional, imperfect, and oftentimes constantly needing adjustment. But if we can figure out that our highest octave of thinking is when we can think with God as God, so we can transcend the rational mind, we can transcend the lower mind, and we can access this part of consciousness that is complete, whole, perfect, harmonious, and it's absolute. It is absolute goodness. It is absolute love. We rise above duality, we rise above the limits of matter and mind, and now we live out from divine law, which is perfect. And so if we can start to think using divine mind, then how we think is what we become. But that will demonstrate a reality that is harmonious, whole, complete, perfect, as opposed to if we try and do it humanly.
So help me try to put this into application. So let's say I have a condition of, say, dry skin, maybe. So how would I go past the observation of my senses that I have dry skin? And I know we were talking about this earlier, and that is, so say I want to go on Google and I want to ask Google, well, what are the causes of dry skin and how would I take care of it? And I believe that that's what we don't want to do is put attention to this condition, because then it kind of cements what your senses are telling you. So how do we go about and doing something like that with the thinking with God as God?
Right. That first order of business is that you have to understand the nature of spirit, the nature of God, because God is perfect, harmonious, whole, peaceful. God is perfectly healthy. And so the first question that you want to ask yourself, does God have dry skin? And so when you start to look at that and you say, well, no, if God is perfect, God can't, it's not possible for God to have dry skin. Now, if I am made in the image and likeness of God, and I have accepted God as my identity, my reality, then is it possible for me to have dry skin? And so by holding your attention on what we call the perfection of being, on the simple fact that I am made in the image and likeness of the divine, God can't have dry skin, and therefore I can't have dry skin. Now, if you do this correctly, then of course there is no dry skin.
So I think maybe some listeners out there might be thinking, yeah, but God isn't in physical form. Humans are in physical form, so therefore maybe these conditions are just for the humans and not for somebody as omnipresent as God.
Right. Well, the human part of the experience is what is demonstrated as the appearance. When we are dealing with a separation mentality, when we're dealing with duality, we have a belief in something other than God. And so that makes matter lifeless. But if we now turn our attention on the presence of God, that recognition of the invisible and the intangible has an effect on what is appearing in our senses. Yeah, see, in reality, we don't have a physical body either, that everything is spirit. And that's the whole thing of unity consciousness. That's the absolute, that everything is spirit. Not only the unmanifested, but the manifested. But a big part of the release of the understanding of everything as being spirit is to be able to view things from the perspective of spirit, from the cause, and not to view it from the effect, which is the manifested part. So in the framework of this concept of thinking with God as God, we have to view things from the invisible intangible. Now, though there's only one God, there's only one mind, there's only one truth, it really requires attention to activate it. And that's what we were saying, is that where we put our attention is where the activation goes. So even, say, for example, thinking humanly, we can have effects on external conditions with our human thought. But if we have attention to divine mind, and the only avenue for that is silence. Silence is the language of spirit because it is formless. And so by us holding our attention on the presence and acknowledging the presence of this invisible, intangible source, that's how we activate it. And that will have the effect on the external appearance because it is the observer that really sets the measurement.
Well, I think it's a pretty good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, we have a statement in our opening that says, physics tells us that observation has effect on reality, but to think with the higher mind is the ultimate measurement. I was wondering if you could maybe explore that statement for us.
Yeah, in quantum physics, they did a lot of experimenting, and one of them was what they called the devil's slit experiment. And basically what this was is they set up a screen and they cut a single slit through it. And then they had a backdrop to it, and they shot marbles at the screen. And where it hit the screen, the marbles bounced off. And where it hit the slit, the marbles went through, and they hit the screen behind it. And it set up a certain pattern that resembled the single slit. And then they did the same thing with a double slit. And they cut two parallel slits into this screen, and then they shot marbles at it, and where the marbles hit the screen, they bounced off, and where they hit the slit, they went through, and then they created a pattern on the screen behind it where the marbles hit. And then they did the whole thing with waves. And when you send a wave through a single slit, you wind up with a pattern on the back screen that has kind of like, it almost looks like a bullseye. And then when they did the double slit, what happens is that as the wave goes through the single slit, it creates another wave, and then the two waves collide. And that created an interference pattern, and it created a very different pattern on the back screen. And then they went quantum and they did the whole thing with electrons. They started shooting electrons at the screen. And an electron is a tiny, tiny particle, so they were kind of anticipating a particle pattern on the back screen. But what they found was that they were getting a wave pattern. And so they decided that they were going to shoot these electrons one at a time because they thought, you know, as one went through, it interfered with another one. But anyway, even though shooting them one at a time, they wound up with a wave pattern. And then they decided that they were going to put a camera on to kind of see what was going on. And what was interesting was is that once they put the measuring device on, the experiment they wound up with a particle pattern. And that really kind of baffled them. But then as they started to, you know, work with this kind of experimenting, they started to see that it was really observation that created what they called the collapse of the wave function, where the wave is both a particle and a wave. It is a particle when it is being observed. So observation really causes the wave to go from a probability to a more determined destination. And so observation has proved itself as having effect on experiment. That really complies with the formula that we work with here in yoga, that how we think is what we become. But like we were saying earlier in the show, it's one thing when we're thinking with the rational mind and we're thinking with thoughts. But if we can move into the realms of spirit, into the realms of the invisible, intangible, and we can think with what I've been saying, thinking with God as God, if we can be thinking with divine mind, the higher mind, and not the lower faculty, then that gives you the best return on your effort, because divine mind thinks in a completely different format than rational mind does. And that's what we've been talking about, that one works in duality and the other one works in the absolute. And the absolute has the template for perfect creation. So if we can think with God as God, we can actually duplicate the perfection of the Creator.
So when you're talking about that mind as being in the ultimate measurement, how would you describe exactly what it is that we are measuring?
Yeah, it's our thought that actually creates the collapse of the wave function. And so it's what will determine how things are going to manifest, how it will appear in our senses.
Okay, so I'd like to continue to talk to you about more of the higher mind. So how do we use the higher mind in relationship to, say, faith and belief and consciousness?
See, belief is what gives thought the power of intention. And in fact, most of the problems that we have today are a direct result of our beliefs, that we have a belief in sin, sickness, suffering, death. These are things that were not created by God. These are things that are not backed by truth. So in the framework of trying to understand how is all of this working, the lower mind is in the realms of duality, and it is under the law of karma, and is a direct result of a belief in two powers. And so when we're living out of the testimony of our senses, we are in the realms of suffering and decay. Most of everything that we are experiencing is there because of our belief. Because none of this is backed by truth. None of this is what God created. So it is not self-existent. It is our recognition of it that actually feeds it and fuels it. And that's why in this model, there's a difference between belief and faith. Because faith is belief in truth. And that's what we're trying to say, that truth, that there is one truth, that there is one God, belief in the one power, which is the absolute. It is backed by the law of life. It is backed by principle, and it is self-existent. So when we believe in truth, we're in harmony, we're in tandem. with what is pure, powerful, sacred, and also it has the template of the perfection of creation. Now, if we go off on a tangent and we believe in something other than this, then of course we're on our own. But it is our belief in it that's actually fueling it, that's creating it and perpetuating it. And that's where healing comes into the equation, that healing is a belief in sickness. It's a belief in something other than God. And in order to really correct it, all you have to do is let go of the belief, because it does not have any power of its own.
So how do you suggest we just let go of the belief? Because if we just don't want to think we let go of the belief, we have to know that we no longer believe it.
Yeah, that's what the Bible tells us, to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And a lot of it is relying on the invisible intangible, that you can develop a relationship with what is invisible and intangible, develop and start to see the power of silence, the power of not thinking individually, not using your mind to form thoughts and opinions, but to use your mind as an avenue of awareness of the presence of truth, things will start to happen. And that's what you start to do, is you work with this and you develop this relationship. Just like anything, as you start to cultivate an ability to think with God as God and start to see how you're moving from the law of karma, which is constantly really trying to seek balance, mm-hmm. that you're always working with opposite forces to try and maintain some sort of a semblance of balance or harmony. Now, when you move into divine law, you're completely out of that conflict. You're out of that struggle, and you're in the law of harmony, truth, and it is completely self-existent. So you no longer have to believe in it. You no longer have to struggle and strive. And that's kind of like moving from the effortful work of concentration into the effortless flow state of meditation. That's the Christian concept of living by grace.
So maybe again, a little bit more clarification about truth. So as there's different levels of understanding, like layers of an onion, how do we know that we have understanding of truth?
Yeah, the main thing here is that it demonstrates. And the truth that we are trying to understand is something that it passes understanding, period. That if your concept of truth is rational and you understand it with your human mind, then chances are it isn't truth at all, especially when you measure it against what's going on in the Bible. You know, things like healing the sick, reforming sinners, walking on water, feeding a multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, does any of this sound rational to you? Because this piece surpasses rational understanding.
Well, I think this is a good place to start wrapping up our program for today. So, listeners, I encourage you to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there, you can roam around that website. There's a lot of great material there to continue your spiritual learning. So with that, please don't forget to visit our Facebook page for our weekly Facebook Live episodes, Wednesdays at 5 o'clock. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's discussion?
Well, again, wishing everybody success with their transcending the limits of body-bound awareness and rational thinking. And I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.